Defense Information Systems Agency is reducing the number of days its employees can telework. This comes as a big surprise to some of them after DISA served as a pioneer for teleworking in the mid-2000s. Some employees are now extremely concerned about the added cost to their commute and other quality of life issues. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni joins me with more. And Scott, you reported back in December, before this policy became official, what's DISA been up to? What are they up to?
Yeah, so what they're up to is they're cutting the telework days for non-union employees. And that may not sound like a lot, but it's a huge change for DISA because they consolidated their locations in 2011. So instead of having a bunch of bases where everyone can kind of go to the one closest to them, everyone's convening on Fort Meade, which means they have people from five different states and the District of Columbia all commuting to Fort Meade.
Which opened about 2011, 2012, that great big complex.
Right, yeah, that was through the base realignment and closure policies that DOD put into place. So what's really changing here is not only are the days going from 3 days a week to two, but that's going to affect about 1,000 people, first of all. But the supervisors, they have to cut their telework from 2 days a week to one. And for the non-supervising workers, they have to take their telework days, at least one of them, in the midweek. That means Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday.
So no more four-day weekends.
That's
for
right.
Everybody.
That's right, unfortunately. And then if you have a compressed work schedule, that's when you take 9 hours a day and then 1 8-hour work week or work day, and then you get 1 day off in every 2 weeks, you can't take a telework day and one of those days at the same time, in the same week.
All right. So why? What is their motivation for doing this, do you think?
Well, that's a really good question. We're not really sure we have a solid answer. Some of the sources I talked to say that General Lin, who is the director of DISA, he and the chief of staff are not big fans of telework, and they claim industry is moving away from teleworking. And that just doesn't really add up when you look at the statistics, though, because according to Global Workplace Analysis, which keeps up-to-date statistics on teleworking, the site shows that teleworking's increased every year since 2006. Congress and the executive branch both are putting out things that encourage teleworking, like the Telework Enhancement Act, and Barack Obama signed a memo urging agencies to expand their telework programs. So it's kind of a weird move.
And it's odd because if you've ever been to Fort Meade, it's not the easiest place to get into. They have the world's biggest front gate with about 8 lanes of traffic trying to get through all these checkpoints. And so it's no wonder people would rather not drive there or drive there as few days as they can get away with.
That's right.
And have they produced any data that we're aware of that shows that productivity is down or projects aren't getting done because people are teleworking?
No. In fact, teleworking's kind of this huge part of the culture at DISA, so it's really confusing as to why they're doing this, and they haven't put out any sort of data or any real, empirical facts about this at all.
And so you said it affects about 1,000 people.
That's right.
And the line workers that are non-union, we're talking about, correct?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What about union workers, by the way? Do they telework? Is that something that's part of their bargaining agreement?
So teleworkers do telework, and they're still under an instruction from 2012, but they have to have their policy agreement re-looked at, basically, by April. And so we got an email that's going to be sent out to the employees that hasn't been sent out yet. And basically, this is to everyone in DISA.
Okay.
And it said, from January to most of February, they're reconstructing their telework site. And then, in March, they're going to be updating the request for their telework schedule. And then supervisors are going to have to approve these agreements in mid-March. And then late March, there's going to be a business plan approval period if that's needed.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's reporter Scott Massioni, and getting back to that telework site. So they have an off-site place that is not the people's homes, but they go there to telework right now?
No, this is a website that would go onto. So that would just be to update their agreements and everything.
Federal government used to operate telework sites, satellite offices, where you could have 50 different agencies working side by side in a telework center. I guess they closed down as people's home networking got better.
Right.
And so what about Fort Meade itself? I mean, if you have thousands of more trips in there per day from people, any knowledge of what that'll do to that place?
Yeah, so what's really interesting is DISA didn't inform Fort Meade that of the change. And they're not required to, but you'd think that they might want to at least let them know. Fort Meade says that they have no plans to change anything, you know, with transportation or how the roads are working. But, you know, there's DISA is there. The National Security Agency is there. U.S. Cybercom is there. So constant.
Plus a lot of smaller commands are there, too.
Right. So it's about 55,000 people that are there every day. And, you know, they worked. The Defense Department worked with Maryland to improve the roads around there. Route 175. It's already really well traveled, some of the employees have told me. And, you know, there's all this construction and it's just a real pain to get around. And, you know, that adds to the commuting worries of a lot of people that are teleworking now.
Have they said whether people can at least have flexible hours of arrival so not everyone is pouring into the base between 8 and 9? What if you got there 10:30 and went home 7:30 or something?
They haven't said anything about that, at least in the policy, and DISA has been pretty tight-lipped. I asked them for some information, and you know they sent back the number of people that would be affected, but you know they're not going into a huge amount of detail on what's behind this policy.
And do we have any reaction yet, say, from our Facebook page or anywhere else to Federal News Radio about how the rank and file feels about this?
Not exactly from our Facebook yet, but you know, feel free to go on there and let us know. But I have heard from sources within DISA, and so there's a lot of people that are saying, you know, I travel 85 miles each way to get there. This is going to be a huge cost for me. You know, there's a single mother I talked to. She said she's going to have to spend about $1,500 a month in daycare, you know, before and after school care for her kids. They're going to have to wake them up when it's dark outside. They're never going to see their parents. And, you know, you know, another woman I spoke to, she is a supervisor. She has to get up at 2:30 in the morning just to get there on time with the traffic and everything. So commuters are not excited about this move.
All right. So any chance that is there a rulemaking? Is there a comment period type of situation, or are they just going to go ahead with it?
It's already in place. So, you know, DISA doesn't have much, or the employees don't have much of a say about it, but they did have a town hall meeting where they could have expressed their dissatisfaction.
All right. Federal News Radio, Scott Massione, thanks so much for that update.
Thank you.
Share this interview with colleagues. You can also read Scott's story online. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click share with friends.